Hey everybody, this is Damian G from the Big Gold Belt Podcast. And if you're located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area like I am, and you have an old school gaming arcade itch you want to scratch, I suggest you go to Free Play Arcade that has three locations throughout the DFW area in Arlington, Richardson, and Fort Worth, respectively. It's got all your classic arcade faves from Pac-Man to Pinball to Street Fighter II. It is your one-stop shop for all your arcade needs. Add to that a full-fledged bar with multiple beers on tap, along with impeccable and strict cleaning and social distancing protocols. It's been rated 5 stars by the Dallas Morning News for 4 years running. That is Free Play Arcade. You can find us at freeplayinc.com/savethearcade, where if you want to contribute and you can't make it out to the arcade, you can purchase gift cards, swag, t-shirts, stickers, coasters, and the like. That is freeplayinc.com/savethearcade, and I hope to see you there. Welcome to, that's an inside joke for a couple of people who watch ESPN, the Damian G Show, brought to you by Anchor.fm, your one-stop shop for podcast needs, also on Spotify, on Stitcher, Podbean, and the like. I am at Damian G Show on all your social medias. Nice to see you, or in this case, talk to you. So I got up today in a really good mood. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. And pardon the voice. I'm just in a really bouncy state, as it were. So last week, I did an episode regarding video games I grew up in or grew up with. If I grew up in a video game, that'd be kind of interesting. But video games I grew up with and why they hold a special place in my heart because of my career in working in video game retail. Now, I've worked at 3 video game retailers in my life, and I gotta tell you, with the exception of one management group, I have loved working in the video game retail world more than a lot of other jobs I've held in my lifetime. And to be quite honest, that's pretty goddamn sad and pretty gosh darn good at the same time. And I wasn't going to do this episode because last week I did the gaming thing, even though it did actually really good numbers. I'm not going to lie to you. It actually did pretty dang good numbers compared to some of my more deeper thought topics, which is weird. But at the same time, I know my audience. My core audience used to be wrestling and gaming, so I understand completely why this is a thing that people would want to hear my take on. So I was motivated to do this episode because I was reminded about when I worked at Funko Land, and I brought this up last week, that before GameStop was GameStop, there was Funko Land. So let me paint the picture for some of you younger people who don't remember Funko Land. Back then, it was strictly, I don't want to say it was, hold on. Getting my thoughts together, and yes, I'm doing this on air, and this is not perfect radio, but you know what, this isn't live, so suck it. I gotta tell you, Funko Land for me was fun, pardon the pun, I am just cracking myself up today. Just roll with it, people. Funko Land traditionally sold what is now known as retro gaming, that's how I'm gonna say it, specialized in Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Master System, Game Gear, Game Boy, PS1, Saturn, and I worked there up until the Dreamcast dropped. And back then it wasn't called retro gaming. Back then it was just called gaming. But there was something fun about getting these old Nintendo cartridges, and even now old is a relative term here, ancient, old school, however you want to phrase it. There was something fun at that particular Funko Land I worked at, and it was in the Manhattan Mall back in New York City. So it was already in a mall. We were next door to the food court, right? So right there, you're telling young Damien, who at the time is about 17, 18, he is ecstatic. He works near a food court. He's selling video games to people. And I learned a lot of self-confidence from working there. That's one thing I can tell you guys unequivocally, is that I was so scared working that counter for the first time. I was being groomed to, you know, go from seasonal runner to actual full-time employee. And at the time I was in school, so I was working full-time at Funco Land, as well as going to school to get my degree. At the time it was in business administration and marketing at Berklee College in New York. But it taught me so much, because being behind that counter for the first time, and I'll never forget, I was so terrified to count money. So terrified to give legal, because remember back then, we still took checks. So we had to like call in checks to our POS. No, we didn't have a POS system, so we had to call them in manually. But I learned so much about myself, you know, dealing with the public, dealing with irate customers, dealing with good customers. And we've all had those one or two retail customers who mean well, but they linger, and you kind of don't want to give them all your attention, but because they're there, they think they're going. It's pretty much akin to, what is it, Instagram. You know, you find something you like, you find people who like you, and then you gravitate to them because they give you the attention that you so desperately desire. But I learned so much about myself in terms of my own personal confidence. I grew up shy. I know a lot of people now don't believe that. They don't believe that Damien was shy or super shy at one point. I was afraid to talk to people. I was afraid to approach people. And just working behind that counter in the mall made me come out of my shell. I'll never forget when I first counted a person's change. The woman training me, she looked at me. And remember, this is my first job. I had never worked before. I was strictly a student. I didn't have a part-time job aside from working with my dad as a building superintendent. But I was shaking. Like I was shaking. My feet were shaking. My hands were shaking. My legs were shaking. I had never been so nervous before in my entire life. I was more nervous. And cover your ears, Mom, if you're listening. I was more nervous working behind that counter that first day at Funco Land than I was the first time I had sex. Yep, I said it. We're going to leave that dangling out there in the universe. I was more nervous working behind the counter for a retail store than I was the first time I ever had sex. So do with that information what you will. But it taught me to get better acquainted with me, to focus on, you know, providing customers with great, impeccable customer service and not viewing them as a number or a place in line. I'll never forget, I used to have these regulars that used to come in. It's almost as if I was some sort of bartender. And I'm sure Sarah and everybody else at FreePlay can kind of attest to this. When you are behind that counter, I think Sarah has said this on the Damien's Advocate show, that behind the counter, you have this kind of superpower. You have the ability to affect people's lives in a positive way and have them come to you for stuff. And you feel useful and you feel validated in your existence because you're behind this counter. But I had my regulars that would come in and we would talk, especially during the dead times. So let me paint the picture for you really quick. If you're doing an open to close, like I used to, basically you go in, mall opened at 11, I was there at 10. If this wasn't the holiday season, we close at 8. Eastern, by the way. Close at 8 Eastern, and we do last call as if it's a bar at 7:30. And then we wouldn't leave, depending on how light or strong the drawer was. We'd probably get out in about an hour afterwards. So I'd be doing at 10 to 9, pretty much like an 11-hour shift. And let me tell you, those there was no seats. We were just running around back and forth, walking back and forth. The only real seats we had were the back room, or unless we wanted to sit down real quick, on the step stool. Now, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I didn't miss the shift. I didn't call out. I didn't tell people, hey, can you cover my shift? I was the dude that got called to cover shifts. Not because I had no life, but because I enjoyed my job. And yes, I enjoyed making money too, but I enjoyed my job. And it's been a while since I had that kind of fervor for work, aside from when I deal with my coaching clients, or when I worked with my youth clients, you know, just talking to them and getting to know their experience. And I think that set me on the path to discovering what my true mission and purpose and on this planet was. You know, I don't think it was to sell video games, but I think it was to find commonalities and things that I enjoy. And I don't want to call it an echo chamber, because that's why I was gravitated toward free play as well, because it's people who like similar things that I do, hobbies, things that give you all the warm, fuzzy feelings in your tum-tum. And then you branch off from there. And it was a very emotional experience when I had to leave. They fought to keep me because I went away. I transferred universities, so I went a little north of the city to go to college. And they fought to keep me. They wanted to give me my own store. They wanted me in the district manager in training program. Don't go, stay, you know, we can offer you this amount of money. And I left, and I still speak so highly of that gig. You know, and as I'm talking about it now, it was less the organization. It wasn't my coworkers, because it was a constant rotation of people coming in and out, and then I had to train oncoming staff. And maybe, again, that's part of why I love what I do sometimes, especially when I'm in nonprofit management, where I like meeting new recruits. You know, it's almost like being a drill sergeant, but the way I did it wasn't in a way of like, damn, how don't you know this? It was sort of like how I was trained, where patience, you got to be patient with people, as in everything with retail. And I know I'm a little all over the place, but I'm getting all these memories flooding back as I talk about it with you all, and it's bringing so much joy into my heart, just knowing that's where it all started. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to switch gears from gaming to another job I had, just to keep the point moving here. My clients, my customers, the people I've interacted with, the people I've met, the people whose stories I hear, who I am able to build some foundling of a relationship with, be it 20 seconds, 20 minutes, 20 hours, or 20 years. My comfortability with that wouldn't have started if it wasn't for working at Funko Land. That's where it all started. Because then I transitioned into an internship at a film studio I used to work at. I'm not going to name it. But let's just say I met a lot of famous people, and I never missed a shift. Not because I was surrounded by famous people. Though there is a funny story about me doing kung fu kicks off the wall in an elevator and not realizing I was being videotaped, which the security guards had a good laugh about that with me, because I had gotten a full-time gig off of my internship, and I was so happy that in private I was doing kung fu kicks not realizing that I was being videotaped. So they had a nice fun thing at my expense. But I never missed a shift. I wanted to do my very best. I got to meet so many people. So I wound up transitioning to a more visible role, working with talent, working with actors, and being amongst that core group of seeing people as people, aside from their jobs, aside from the characters they portrayed in movies, just as people. Well, whereas everybody else at this film studio was trying to get seen for movies, to be in movies, to be an actor or an actress. And don't get me wrong, I've done improv theater, and I used to love that too. I was just there to peep the stories, to document. If you're a comics fan, think of me as Uatu the Watcher, and just transcribing all this to my memory and just feeling really good about all the people that I've met. You know, I met people from all walks of life while working in that film studio and interning there. You know, I ran the gamut of jobs there too. You know, I started off as a cheaply paid intern, and then I parlayed that to working in the mail room and delivering mail, and then I parlayed that to working in the production promotions department because I had a marketing degree, and that was fun. I mean, setting up for trade shows is always interesting because depending on where you are, the amount of people you'll get and the people you'll come across. Again, transcribing for stories. And I think that's part of what I love to do. I love just being in an environment where I can see people as people with a blank slate. Now, don't get me wrong, even in retail, even with regulars, even in, you know, my internships and all my other jobs, you're going to have those clients and those customers that just drive you batty. For instance, I'll go back to Funko Land real quick. I remember a woman once threw one of those plastic paper holders where we were listing prices for certain games. She threw it at me full force because I told her we didn't have a particular game, and she was mad at me because she swore that I was going to hold it for her, and she got really belligerent, and I spoke up for my team and myself, and I said, listen, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And a lot of people thought I was going to act all out of my shell and, you know, out of my way and be all rude and all hoodboogery toward her. And she goes, oh, if I wasn't a woman, you wouldn't treat me this way. If I bought my husband, I said, well, you can bring your husband too, but it's the same deal. I didn't lie to you. I said it might be here. The only copies we have are for people that actually pay to reserve it, not for the general populace. I didn't even forget what the game was, but she chucked it at me full force at my head. So it's those moments of, really, really, you gonna argue with me over a video game that costs $20? Okay. And I know now in retrospect, it wasn't about me, it was about her. There was probably some pressure for her to get this particular game for her kid or for her husband. So it wasn't about me. But we all have those. We all have those moments in our jobs where situations just cause us to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I'm reminded of just why I got into it, why I got into the people business. It just determined, I think for me, I now know all these years later, what kind of environments work best for me. You know, I know I've worked with a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different backgrounds. And it's up to me to decide whether or not I want to be there. That goes back to why I charge what I charge normally for counseling and coaching sessions, where people get mad. And then I turn around and say, well, I know people who I charge way more for, because they're willing to pay for my services. And it's not because I'm making up the prices off the top of my head. It's because I put in the effort, I put in the work, I put in the time, I put in my resources for my training and my practice and my, you know, honing of my craft. And you're going to tell me, yeah, I'm not going to pay more than like X amount of dollars for this. All right, well, go ahead. Have fun. Do you, man. Do you. But that's where it all started. You know, those first two jobs of mine were the litmus test and the catalyst for who I would become, you know, going into the helping professions. And here's something I'm wrestling with, pardon the pun, all my wrestling friends and family. I've never thought of myself as a good salesman, especially when it came from a place of everyone's just a mark and I'm going to try to upsell them everything. Because if you don't know, there's a lot of upselling at GameStop or Funko Land or Electronic Boutique or all those old school gaming stores, or even just phones and all that stuff. Sales jobs. But I've never been good, in my estimation, of faking the funk in terms of making a sale. Now, I talk about value all the time. I will sell you on perceived value. I will sell you on something I believe in. For instance, when I was working at Funko Land, we would have to sell magazine subscriptions. We would be asked, like I say, have to. We were asked to push certain games because they were a bit of an upsell. Certain third-party accessories, which were cheaply made, but it got you 200 a controller. 250 per controller, especially those Mad Cats. If you know those Mad Cats controllers, those are horrible to play. The cleaning systems, the warranties, you know, and I'm okay with selling it from that aspect. But I'll never forget, I had a supervisor tell me my way sucked. The way of doing it from a humanistic standpoint sucked, and I needed to be more corporately mindseted to sell these products. And I'll tell you, I was so proud of the people I would be able to sell these upsells to, not because I didn't find value in some of the products, because I did, but because I believed in the products. I liked reading video game magazines as a kid. I liked having a retro system that covered me for a year to 3 years, just in case. Not as if I was buying a new system. I was buying a pre-owned system. I would want some assurances. 2 years, 2 year warranty for an extra what? $15? And I get a magazine, a year a subscription to a video game publication? Sign me up, man. That's easy. But try to sell me on some... Give me something people like to upsell. Expedited shipping for $40. Y'all that impatient? Y'all go pay $40 for one day shipping. Okay. Whatever, man. I'm not going to yuck your yum, but yes, I am in this case. Like, just stop it. But all in all, that's what I wanted to really get across for this quick episode. And I was only going to do about maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And here we are at the 20-minute mark. So this will make it a Damien G quickie. But that's where my drive to communicate, my drive to meet people and talk to people and chronicle just things I experience. Some people tell me I should write a book based on the life I've had. And that's where it all started. The helping professions, the profession of being a people person, even though, mind you, I'm not the biggest people person outside of work. And I think that's important too, to replenish your cup. I've worked with homeless populations. I've worked with the at-risk population, which I can't stand the word, but that's the word that pops up in my head. I call it the underserved community. Or just educate people on just my life experiences and then transcribing their own stories to my memory. But that's the whole point. That's where it all started. It started at Funko Land. It started at a gosh darn video game store. That is where it started. A video game store. And then that's how you come across your purpose. Or what you think your purpose is. And maybe that springboards you into something else. So don't poo-poo those first few jobs. Don't poo-poo opportunity. Because as much as you like to think about like, oh, this job sucked, that job sucked, it taught you something. Mine gave me confidence. Mine gave me the ability to empathize before I even got a second of counseling training, of psychology training in grad school, a semblance of life coaching training. I always thought to put people's, I guess, feelings in a first-person perspective, and I think that's a long-winded way to say empathy, but to meet people where they're at. And it gave me those skills, and it gave me those traits. And I just want to thank everybody, you know, for always sharing your memories with me. And if you got first job memories that were good to you, if you have first anything memories that were good to you that you learned from, it doesn't have to be a ringing endorsement by any stretch of the imagination, because we were all underpaid. That's for sure. We were all underpaid. Funko Land, severely underpaid management staff. That's part of the reason I did turn down the district manager's training. Because it didn't pay a lot. And I figured going to school would teach me a lot more. And it did. Life skills. But that's another story. We will cover Damien's college years another day. But this is Damien G. Find me at Damien G Show on all your social media platforms. Twitch.tv/Damien G Show. As well as on YouTube as well. With the Damien's Advocate Show with Coach Sarah. Coach Girl Friday. And our Wrestling Wednesday rewatches, where we watch women's wrestling. That's a mouthful. Or intergender wrestling. And do first reactions for you all. Find that on Big Gold Bell Podcast, BGB Group on Twitter, and on their YouTube page every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time. And shout out to Free Play Arcade for being a really, really great piece of Damien life history over this year. Not even this year, over the last maybe 6 months where I've been associated with Free Play. I do a lot of these for them, because they deserve it. They just wrapped up a fundraiser, or I should say our friend GameTrax, who I've interviewed on the show before, wrapped up a fundraiser stream for them, and they crushed the goal. They went above and beyond the goal. So shout out to GameTrax and all of the people who are associated with that stream for fundraising, and thank you. Thank you to Free Play. Thank you to Big Gold Belt. Thank you to Battle Club Pro. Thank you for Funko Land. Thank you for Tribeca Film Studios. Thank you for Berklee College, Pace University, and everyone and the like that had a hand in training me. And we will catch you next time.